This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at WorldSweeper.com. I have on the phone with me Dominic Tinio. Everybody knows him as DA. He is the Playa Restoration Manager for Black Rock City, which is better known as Burning Man, and has just completed his 11th year as the Playa Restoration Manager for the Department of Public Works in Black Rock City. And welcome to the World Sweeper interview on that.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here, Ranger. And I just want to clarify, I've actually been managing it for 6 years, but I've been on the crew for 11.
Well, it makes sense that you'd have a lot to learn. From what I saw, it's just an enormous challenge, and nobody could just walk into it without significant years of experience, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. We've Black Rock City in general, as well as fire restoration operation, has come a long way. We've all learned from each other. It's been a pretty amazing process.
Well, let's just run as an overview for listeners that you're talking these days, and of course there's been a build over time, but essentially you come in, and I'll let you tell us that part, but when you get on site, you're really preparing a site for, and these days, over 50,000 people to come in for a week, and then you restore it afterwards. Offline, you were very careful to emphasize that you are not in charge of cleanup, that the whole emphasis is to encourage the people that are in attendance to clean up, and that you're there to restore. But of course, there's some amount of cleanup you have to do too. Tell me, if you would, about that process. What are the real challenges of happening when you get there, and what do you face? What do you do? And then, how's the process work?
Well, our whole goal is to leave the playa as good as, or if not better than, the way we found it. You know, it's our home away from home, and we treat the land with respect. It's a beautiful, the Black Rock Desert is a beautiful stretch of land, and that's our intention, is that we open the circle and create Black Rock City, and then when we restore, when the event is over, we close the circle, and you know, we go back home and take all the goodness with us. We are there to back the Leave No Trace effort of the 51,000 or so participants of Black Rock City, the artists and the theme camps and the infrastructure. It's everybody's job to leave no trace. All the positive aspects that the art and the theme camps and the infrastructure does, it's really beautiful what happens out there, and perhaps will never be able to be quantified. But we know that a lot of really beautiful things are inspired from what happens out there. So we ask everybody to do their best to leave no trace, and we'll back everybody's effort and do our best to leave the playa as beautiful as we found it. And then we actually have an inspection at the end of the year by the Bureau of Land Management, who manages the Black Rock Desert, and we pass every year with flying colors.
It's truly an astonishing scale that you work on. When you come out to the playa, and for those not familiar with that term, that's the name for this open, flat expanse called a playa, for what is really a dry lake bed when it doesn't rain, that's quite expansive. As I recall, your moop fence, which is material out of place, a fence that is designed to make sort of a perimeter barrier as well as to catch debris that would fly around in a storm, is about 7 miles in circumference.
Yeah, it's a pentagon shape. It is officially known as, it's the perimeter fence, but it functions as a trash fence, in that if things aren't secure, often like paper, like plastic bags and things like that, when people are still staging, like things will go flying, which people have become much more aware of and are better at securing. Things that might be caught by the wind will make it out to the fence, and then the fence is patrolled, and all of the, whatever makes it to the fence is picked up, so it doesn't make its way onto the open playa, per se. Moop is a word that was coined a long time ago. It's in, like, the Burning Man vocabulary. Moop is matter out of place. It's a way of looking at anything that you come across and knowing that it just shouldn't be there. It's not necessarily trash. It's something that, it's often debris, broken things, wood chips, and little plastic bits. We're out there. I have a crew of about 85 people, and we'll, we grid out the entire playa. And it's amazing what 85 people in a line, of everybody about 6 feet apart from each other, will put together cumulatively, bit by bit. And then we add it all together, and then it's pretty amazing to see how much we actually pull off the playa. It's a really good gauge to see that with 51,000 people, how much isn't really out there. Think about the sheer weight of what people bring, their structures and their artwork, and people bring lots and lots of stuff out to the playa. It's all gone, probably close to like 90-something percent. You know, it's really hard to tell. It's we don't really know how much people actually bring. We just know what we find.
One of the things that is admirable about what is done at Burning Man is that there is an enormous amount of preventive measure taken. Virtually all of the people, at an astonishing rate anyway, of veteran attendees will speak right up and say, you know, have you noticed if the wind blows, that's going to blow away, or this shouldn't be here, or you need to tighten that down a little bit. It was very helpful for me as a first-year attendee, which are known in the language as burners. As a first-year burner, I had a number of helpful tips that were offered my way, and it is, let's face it, it's a very rugged, rough area to survive in, you know, when the wind comes up especially. But for those public works directors especially listening out here, the real lesson I think that can be taken away from the Black Rock City build-up and then restoration, total restoration, is what the power of prevention can accomplish, and education. When you educate the people that are in your organization and in your locale, whatever that is, it really can go a long ways to bring them in and get them involved with being a part of, you know, whether it's cleanup or recycling or restoration or keeping your city cleaner and neater, whatever it is, really getting that buy-in is enormous.
I think one of the advantages that Burning Man and Black Rock City has is, actually it's the advantage, is our power of community and communication. We all realize that this is the deal. We leave no trace. We come in here and we respect this land. And we're all committed to that. And without that, restoration would be, I don't even know, you know, it would be much more, it's a challenge as it is, but it'd be almost even insurmountable if people didn't believe in leaving no trace. That might be something to be said about the world community or even in local communities, of getting them on board and saying, hey, you guys, this is our land, and we should keep it clean. We should put everything where it needs to go. You know, and we'll solve all those problems with landfills and recycling and, you know, and reducing carbon footprints. Like, all of that will come in time. But we need the people of the community to believe in it and to step up to it. And that's what we're showing. That's what the data is showing with the MOOP maps that we created, where we grid out the city and we give it a color code based on the severity of the impact, of the MOOP impact. We'll find things to be, we give things a color code, red, yellow, green, and a red area is an area that was harder hit and it looks like they had a harder time cleaning up. And then yellow areas are, you know, give and take, your general average, like they did okay here and there, not totally perfect. And then green areas are clean by our standards. It's, there wasn't a lot found in that area. And so since we started doing the MOOP map in 2006, we've noticed a huge increase of green areas where the community's like, okay, yeah, based off of the feedback that we give them, they learn how they could have done better. And there's so many different factors to it. You know, it's never as easy. I mean, you're in an open desert area, and, you know, Burning Man just happened, and then actually usually what happens after the event happens is the winds pick up. We're actually in a season of change where we move from summer to fall, and the winds pick up, and so we kind of get hit with dust storms. So, you know, people are under, you know, there's a certain amount of stress that people are under, but they do their best, and I give them tips on, you know, understanding what the playa conditions might be like and how to actually make things easier on themselves in the long run by just some preventative maintenance.
What are your biggest challenges, do you think, in terms of providing a total restoration?
For me, I feel like, again, it goes back to community. As the event grows bigger, it's acculturating the newcomers who come in to the event and let them know, yes, we leave no trace, and this is matter out of place, and this is matter out of place. And it's a perspective. It's almost like a school. Like, people come into Burning Man, and there are all these preconceived notions of what it is and what it isn't. In the end, people are learning, and they're going to learn what they learn. And it's important for us to let people know how we treat the desert and what to do to leave no trace and make it go away. And the number one MOOP issue probably is wood debris. People are doing a lot of construction and tearing down and a lot of cutting. And, it's preventative maintenance, like putting a tarp down over the area that you're going to be doing a lot of cutting on is huge, because there might be a lot of sawdust and whatnot. And it's like sawdust, once it hits the actual playa surface, the dust surface, is really hard to get off of it. You actually need to, like, broom it and shovel it off. And then there's always going to be some leftover on the playa, And what we don't want to do is have to scrape up the entire playa just to get their sawdust off. It's better if it just never hit the ground to begin with.
Well, that's another push toward the idea of prevention. If you can keep things going into the right containers to start with, in your case, it's a container that goes home with you. I was intrigued with the can recycling. You didn't have any place to put, no place to put garbage can, or to put garbage. There's no garbage cans, garbage facilities, but there was a can recycling crushing area, and that seemed like it was going great guns.
Oh, yeah, that's Recycle Camp, and that's run by a gentleman by the name of Mr. Blue, who is also who also works as part of Playa Restoration. We're starting to get to that place where we're quantifying how much recycling is going on. We're actually starting to quantify the different kinds of MOOP that we find and categorizing them. We're starting to be able to do MOOP audits and randomly pick different areas and just get a gauge of what's being found there. And so it's interesting to see, like, an area where there might have been a lot of metal work, and we know that a lot of metal work was going on there, we'll pull out, like, magnet sweepers, and then we'll pick up a whole bunch of metal that they might have missed and let them know, hey, you guys missed this. We could tell you tried because we know there was a lot more here, but, here's our once-over, my crew's once-over of their area picked up this amount of metal, this amount of rebar and whatnot, and then we'll actually put it in a little package, and we'll share that data with them.
Well, that's great. That sounds like that kind of follow-up is, again, in the preventive area where it just keeps the circuit completed. Because if you think that you've fooled yourself into thinking that you've cleaned up well and haven't, then you need to know that. And maybe you did give it what is the best effort. And let's face it, most of us are not used to giving a best effort that involves 100%.
There's like a lot of different factors to coming off of the event. Fatigue is a factor. The weather is a factor. Just being able to see it is a factor. One of the advantages that my crew has is that there's nothing left on the playa at the point that we hit it, aside from our markers that delineate the city. It's a clean slate, and we go over everything. There's no trucks in our way. There's no people in our way. It's just us. And also, the playa has settled by the point that we actually get to it. Usually what happens is MOOP gets buried by the dust that hit after the event, the dust storms. It buries it, and then the wind comes, and it moves dust away, and then there's the moop. You can see it. And it's much more visible to us when restoration starts than it is when people are actually breaking down their camp, because they're actually walking through a lot of that is now on top of that level, you know?
Well, tell me, D.A., what do you think is the central message that people doing large events and or, public works directors and those sorts of things should keep in mind when they're trying to, develop a clean site when they get finished so that they don't have to clean it all themselves and so that it can become cleaner over time?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Again, I feel like it always comes back down to community. We've and I personally have met with different organizers of other events, maybe even rock festivals and whatnot, asking how does Burning Man leave no trace and how has it developed the reputation that it has for leaving no trace. And I let them know that it comes down to the community and the people who are patrons of your event shouldn't just be looked at as people who are just ticket sales. They are your community, and you really need to get them on board with what you're trying to do. But you also have to believe in it. You have to believe in leaving a trace. And if the message doesn't come from you as an organizer and isn't passed down to, if you're a rock show, to the people who are performing your show, and isn't broadcasted back out to the community, not everybody's going to get it. I've definitely been to some events where you can see that some people were being conscious of it, but often the norm that doesn't really work so well. They're not really there yet with it all. I think so, but I think they're ready. I think they just need to hear it. They need to be encouraged for it. It needs to be seeded, and it needs to be nurtured in getting the people to really just buy into leaving no trace and why, as opposed to a lot of times I've been to events and by the time the event is over, and the festival, like some rock star festival or something is over, it's like there's water bottles like littered all over the ground and cigarette butts just being dropped on the ground, and a lot of times the people just leave that stuff. That's never been the case with Burning Man or Black Rock City at all. It comes down to the people. And really what they need to do, the organizers need to just broadcast that message and say, we really need your help in leaving our trace. We would like to reduce our carbon footprint. We'd like all the recycling to go where the recycling needs to go and the trash we need to go, and we need your help. The communication of that is most important.
And one of the things that I saw happening at Black Rock City as far as the Burning Man event was that you really laid out a blueprint. There was an enormously powerful blueprint in place for what was to occur, which is to say, everything goes away with you. Don't drop it on the ground in the first place. Set your camp up so that it doesn't allow things to get out of place in the first place. If you see something out of place, if you see somebody litter in Black Rock City, you're going to have five people saying, hey, you dropped this out of your pocket. Whereas at a rock festival, somebody throws a water bottle down, everybody else walks by. And it's that sense of community that makes it happen. So I guess what I'm working around to here is to encourage those listening that might be large event planners or which is every city, of course. That's part of the public works process, is how you clean up after your big events. A lot of times I see that they don't have, their recycling set out well. And that's a way to get people involved, is not just to be throwing stuff into a central garbage can, but to have, recycling set up. Have it well marked. Have lots of them. If you want people to put things, if your particular blueprint is to put things into garbage cans, don't let the garbage cans overflow. Because once they do, and now there's trash around them on the ground, people look over at that from 50 feet away and realize there's no place to put something in the garbage, so they throw it on the ground. So that's something that I think if only the Burning Man and Black Rock City organizers could clone is how to instill those kinds of ethics where people want to really be involved and help each other and do what's right. We'd all have all of our events would be much nicer, certainly.
It's an interesting thing that you mentioned with, you know, having garbage cans, you know, out. There are things that we've learned over time where it's like if there are garbage cans or dumpsters just out, people will use them. And a lot of times they'll use them until they're totally overflown. And, you know, that's an interesting thing. Burning Man doesn't have any garbage cans out there. You know, it's just everybody is responsible for their own trash. So you keep your trash stationed in your own camp. But we don't have anything out publicly. And therefore they're never there to be accumulated. And then we ask that when people are going out, you know, for the night at Burning Man, you know, and you go out with, you know, a six-pack or whatever it is, you know, it's like, you should still be coming home with those empties, you know.
That's right.
With that stuff, and then you put it in your own trash, or your own recycling, you know, and then you take it out with you. There have been several cities that have looked at our model for Black Rock City and done some research on where they find trash cans in their cities in the world to be overflowing, and then we've heard some feedback on that. They've realized that maybe there are too many garbage cans out there, you know, or too many garbage cans located towards places where they tend to be abused, which is, I think there were some statistics on garbage cans that are near fast food restaurants tend to be overflowed and whatnot, which is a whole other, you know, it's a whole other big topic, you know, a whole other problem that needs to be solved out there. But it's an interesting thing to keep an eye on. There's so many different factors.
Well, and that's maybe the message there is to keep an eye on what are your factors. What is it that needs to be changed? You know, you call matter or material out of place this MOOP. It's anything that's in the wrong place. I think something people can relate to is that definition of weeds, which is any plant growing in the wrong place in your garden. If you look around your city or your any part of your organization, really, and see the things that don't look like they're working quite as well as they could be, investigate and see how you can make that better. And if possible, how can you involve your constituency to assist in that? Because a lot of times, if you can prevent it, it is sensible, it's easy, people don't mind, they actually feel like they've become a part of something bigger, whether that's you know, your city park or Burning Man, and it's also a lot less expensive for the organization, which means they can put on more events and you know, do more for their constituency than they'd be otherwise. Is there anything else out here that you think you'd like people to know about the cleanup effort or how it's accomplished?
For us in our effort, like you know, we try to keep the Black Rock Desert as beautiful as we found it. When people think of Burning Man, they start imagining all these explosions and fire and whatnot, which is definitely there. We just know how to make it go away, and we know how to for the different people who are doing different projects. We do our best to teach them how to reduce their impact. So if they are burning art, which is a very big part of Burning Man, you know, we have a whole system and a whole process that an educational process that we put people through, and things that burn, you know, we don't burn anything on the playa surface at all. We actually put down decomposed granite, which is local to the area. We put also known as DG, and that acts as kind of a protective surface to the playa and saves the playa from actually scarring from heat, which is actually required by the Bureau of Land Management. If I don't know if you've witnessed any of the burn scars, or any burn scars have actually gone down significantly in the years, whereas before we used to have to deal with a lot more of the burn scars. They were much more prevalent, but nowadays they're hardly there, if at all. So we put a layer of DEG down, and that's like where the mantle, you'll see like the mantle burn on top of a big pile of decomposed granite, and then all of that gets scooped up, and it leaves the playa surface untouched from the burn. We take precautions like that, and it allows us to keep doing what we do. Other than that, most of our issues on the playa have decreased significantly. It's been amazing to watch. The community's been really supportive of us and understand that it's a citywide effort on everybody's behalf to leave the desert better than it was. So, we're really proud of that. You know, I can't imagine this event. Well, I think when we first moved out here, I think that was one of the major concerns. We're like, oh my gosh, you know, what's going to happen out there? These people are going to be doing all these crazy things. But I think we've inspired ourselves to realize what we're capable of doing by being out there and leaving no trace. Starting to get put more into the spotlight, actually, where once upon a time it was like the last thing on people's minds when they were going to Burning Man. But more and more people are starting to realize how awesome it is to actually go somewhere and then to make something happen and then to pretend it never happened and make it go away. And there's nothing left. There's nothing like that feeling when we remove the last marker in Black Rock City, the last delineator in Black Rock City that tells us where we are, and all of a sudden we look around and there's nothing. There's nothing left, and it's actually a beautiful and triumphant feeling.
Well, I can't think of a better place to leave our interview. It is astonishing to me to even think that incredible mass of people that included two-story structures and much, much more can leave a footprint of essentially zero. I certainly commend you again and your volunteer team, of course, for your ability to gain national and international distinction for being the best there is at what you do. So congratulations. Keep on keeping on. We've been talking to Dominic Tinio, who is the Playa Restoration Manager for Black Rock City and the annual Burning Man event. You've heard how you can bring over 50,000 people together in a city for a week, tear it down, clean it up, restore it completely. Thanks again, DA.
Thank you, Ranger. It's been a pleasure.